Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. And we're going through our series on the one another commandments of the New Testament. And today we'll be looking at that great commandment to forgive one another. As we do that, we will learn great lessons from the Bible that we can apply in our spiritual lives. Here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. So get out your Bibles, pens, and notebooks. Before we do that, let us pray. Father in heaven, illumine our hearts and our minds, that your word may be meaningful to us and that we may obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the first place we're going to start is the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 18 and the parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. But he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So here we're talking about forgiveness, that we should forgive because we have been forgiven. Our heavenly Father is very, very interested in how you forgive other people. He knows that you've been hurt, but he wants you to forgive those who have hurt you. And if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it will torture you. You will become more and more bitter. You will become more and more resentful. You will say life has treated me badly, so on and so forth. And you will eventually be eaten up by self-pity and all the demons that the devil puts in your head, because unforgiveness becomes a root of bitterness, and a root of bitterness defiles many things, according to the book of Hebrews. So you need to forgive, because the natural consequence of the opposite, which is bitterness, is terrible, terrible, terrible indeed. And you do not want to become a bitter person. Like when you see some older people, they're terribly bitter at how life has treated them. They've got a long list of complaints. Why have they ended up like that? Why have they ended up so bitter and so hurt by life? Because they refuse to let go. They refuse to let go of all the things that had hurt them over the years, and they've pile them up inside them until their entire soul is filled with a long list of complaints and injuries against them, and they have no way out of it. And it affects their mind, it affects their heart, it affects their relationships. They become touchy, they become bitter, and they become hateful human beings because they never learned the practice of forgiving other people, which is very, very, very necessary. So What God's saying here is, first of all, we have to continually forgive. Not just seven times, but 70 times seven, which means we have to be able to forgive over and over again as part of our daily practice in life. Secondly, we need to be generous to those who owe debts to us, including, and that might be financial debts, but it also might be debts of other kinds, debts of gratitude, debts of kindness, debts of fairness. We have to have the ability to let go of all the things that we've held on to, all the grudges. We say, you owe me this, or you owe me the other, my parents should have done this or that or the other. We hold that in our heart and our mind. We need to let that go. You need to let go of all the bitterness that's in your heart and just drop it into the sea and not let it fester in your life. Because if you do keep on hating people, if you do hold grudges against them, if you do want everything to be paid back exactly, then the consequence is psychological and spiritual torture. You will enter up into those spiritual laws that say what goes around comes around. If you're bitter, you will reap bitterness. All this, you will sow what you reap, and so rather you will reap what you sow, and if you're sowing bitterness, you will reap bitterness, and that's what will happen to your soul. And you don't want to become one of those nasty, old, bitter people later in life, and you don't want to end up a defiling Christian, someone that is a root of bitterness that causes all sorts of wrong and terrible things to happen in a church. On the other side of it, we go to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6, and Luke 6 is kind of like a mini summary of the Sermon on the Mount. And let's look at verses 37 and 38 in Luke chapter 6. Where are we? Okay, Luke 6 verses 37 and 38. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Giving, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So here, Jesus is telling them in the Gospel of Luke that if you have a forgiving spirit, if you have a spirit that doesn't judge, that is generous, that is kind, that gives instead of takes, then you will receive a bountiful presence from the Lord. So the opposite of being bitter is to be a forgiving person who is not judgmental, who is a blessing to others, and in turn, you will be blessed. If we go on to a little bit in the Gospel of Luke, to Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 17 and verses 3 and 4. Let's look at that in my little Bible here. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day, and seven times a day he comes to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now, this is a big stretch for us. If someone sinned against me seven times a day, I would have trouble on the fifth or sixth time, let alone the seventh time, forgiving this person for their conduct. You say, can't you ever get your stuff together? But he comes back, please forgive me, I've done the wrong thing. Now, one of the things here is that people should ask for your forgiveness. We have to ask God for forgiveness. We have to go to him and say, Lord, I have sinned against you in thought and word and deed. Please forgive me my sins. And that's the sinner's prayer. We go to God and say, I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. Make me a Christian. Forgive my sins and help me to be born again. We have to ask God for forgiveness or acknowledge our sins to God so that they can be forgiven. If someone never acknowledges their sin to you and you keep on forgiving them, you may be in a codependent relationship, or the person may be a narcissist, or the person might just be abusing you. But if someone is genuinely sorry that they have hurt you, if they come back to you again and again and say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, then you should forgive them. You should soften up your heart. Now, living life with a soft heart is very hard because we tend to get hurt again and again, and we give our forgiveness and we get hurt again and again. And that's where you need the strength of the Holy Spirit. You need God to strengthen you in all these things. So let's have a look at Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32. Now we'll look at some of the theological basis here for forgiveness. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, and all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. So why do we forgive? Because God in Christ God, the God the Father dwelling in Jesus Christ forgave us. And so we need to be kind. We need to be tenderhearted. We need to be forgiving. We need to put away all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and malice all far from us. Because God wants us to be new covenant Christians, new creations in Christ Jesus. And we're to live out of our covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, as God in Christ has forgiven us, then we are to forgive other people. And we're to do that in wise and kind and responsible ways, because we're to be a source of light in the world and not a source of darkness. And as it says in 1 John chapter 2, I think around about verse 11, it says that he who hates his brother is in darkness until now. So you don't want to walk in the darkness of the bitterness and grudges in your heart. You want to be able to move them out. You need to move the mountain of grudges out of your heart. You just need to say, mountain of grudges, get out of my heart. I'm not going to be a grudge-filled person anymore. Get all those mountain of grudges, hurts, and sorrows out of your heart. Cast them out in the name of Jesus. Uproot all the malices. The old mulberry tree has to get pulled up, the mulberry tree of resentments and things that have gone deep buried into your heart and your mind. Mulberry tree of resentments and bitterness, get out of my life, be cast into the sea, if you remember the prayer of Jesus Christ. And so we have to rebuke and get rid of this stuff. That's really, really toxic. Let's go to Colossians 3 and verses 12 to 14. And where are we here? Okay, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So it's saying be kind, be tender, saying the same things as Ephesians, and forgive one another because God in Christ has forgiven you. You need to behave in the way that God wants you to behave, because God has shown you that mercy. He's like the king in the parable of the unmerciful servant. God's shown you mercy. So you need to show mercy to others. So this goes to the question of what should the tone of our spiritual life be? Should our spiritual life be one of drama, of hatred, of resentment, of getting mad at people all the time? Or should our spiritual life be quiet, meek, humble, gentle, peaceful? Obviously, we're supposed to be quiet, gentle, peaceful, and humble. We're not to be people who are full of rage and full of vengeance. Now, this is where sometimes Christians get involved in something like politics, and so they get angry, they get resentful to what's going on in politics, to all the corruption, to the other political party, to this or that, and the Christians are Republican, they hate the Democrats. If the Christians are Democrat, they hate the Republicans, and so on and so forth. Then we think, well, I've got a reason to be mad here. I've got a reason to this because so-and-so is corrupt, or this happened, or that happened, or this law came in, or they said this, or they said that. And there is no reason for bitterness. God does not let you be bitter over anything, but rather we're to pray for the kings and all those in authority, whether to lift them up before the Lord, and not let bitterness over politics or economics or the way the country's being run, we're not to let bitterness gobble us up. And the same with the church. Some people get offended at their denomination, their church, or offended at another denomination or another church, and they think, see, I've got a reason to be bitter now because I'm mad at this church, this pastor, this doctrine, this denomination. And no, God does not allow you to live in bitterness. Forgive that church, forgive that pastor, forgive that denomination. Start walking in a spiritual life which has a humble tone to it, which is non-judgmental, where the tone of your life is love and peace and joy and gentleness and meekness in the Holy Spirit. And that's it's got a different feel to it. That's got a different way that we walk through life. And to get into that tone, getting into the tone of peacefulness, requires forgiveness. Because if you don't forgive, you're just going to keep on in the turmoil. Because unforgiveness and bitterness and wrath and clamor just keep bouncing you around all over the place. And you can't have a peaceful life unless you learn to forgive people. So, and one thing we need to learn, and Jesus says this at the end of the Lord's Prayer, is that God won't forgive us unless we forgive others. Let's go there in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 12 to 15. Going back to the Gospel of Matthew again. Matthew chapter 6, where is it? And 12 to 15. Here we are. And forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. So if you want your prayer life to work, then you've got to forgive people. Because God's not going to answer your prayer if you're full of bitterness, clamor, wrath, and malice. Your prayer life depends on your daily practice of forgiveness, and that's difficult because life offends us regularly, where we have to deal with a corporation that is unfair, or with a telephone company, cable company, car dealer, or whatever. It's very hard in the midst of the unfairness of life to turn around and forgive someone who has done us wrong. Now, I have to say here, there's a difference between forgiving and trusting. If you deal with a car dealership and the car dealership rips you off and you lose a lot of money, you can might have to forgive the car dealer and not be bitter about it for the sake of your own spiritual life. But you don't ever go back to the car dealer. You say, I was ripped off by this person, and this is wrong and this is evil, and I'm not going to trust that car dealer ever again. And that's a perfectly legitimate thing to do. You don't have to trust people who are abusive, who are criminal, who are deceptive. You don't have to trust evil and wicked politicians. You can be skeptical, but you can also forgive, and you can let your life go back to being quiet and humble, not turned upside down by all the turmoil, wrath, and anger in your heart. So you have to forgive. Yeah, and you'd have to get rid of unforgiveness. Now, what happens if bitterness comes into someone's heart? Well, Hebrews 12:15 says, don't let bitterness come into your heart. Don't let a root of bitterness rise up among you, and by it many be defiled. You see, if you let a root of bitterness come up, you start speaking evil things against someone, you start getting bitter and angry about them, you say nasty things, and then you say nastier things, and people listen the gossip coming out of your bitter and unforgiving heart, and that rumor spreads around and around, it becomes spiritual poison. Those kind of negative rumors that bitter people say about the ex-husband, ex-wives, ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, whoever, or about the last church they were at, those kind of bitter things have become a root of bitterness that defiles many. It spreads through the community and does a lot of damage. So you're better keeping your mouth quiet and walking in humility, walking in meekness, walking in the love of God, and walking in the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ that he gives you. Now, there is a potent force of healing that comes when we forgive one another. In James chapter 5, it tells us to pray for the sick. And then as James is telling us to pray for the sick, and it says, they let the elders come and anoint the person with oil, and the prayer of faith will raise him up, and his sins, if he has any, will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another that you might be healed. See, when we confess our sins and we get them forgiven and we have people praying over us for the forgiveness of our sins, that's a very healing thing. Well, if you're a forgiving person, if you facilitate peacemaking, if you're in there helping people to forgive, then you're really doing a big work in the kingdom of God. And so when we confess our sins to one another, it brings healing, it brings reconciliation, it brings the good things that we've always wanted out of our Christian life. So we're looking at this whole topic of forgiveness and forgiving one another. We all know we've got to do it. It's a very commonly preached thing. But then how do we do it? How do we manage this? Now, let's start with the first step in this, which is being willing to forgive. You got to say, am I willing to forgive this person? This person's hurt me so many times. Am I willing to forgive them? And you might just have to say, God, I'm not willing at the moment, but I want to be willing. I'm not willing at the moment to forgive so-and-so, but I want to be willing. Please help me to be willing to forgive this person at this time and to put aside my pride, I am willing to forgive them. The next thing we need to do is go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I forgive this person. I will not hold a grudge against them. I will bless them. I will put this to one side. I will let go of this issue. And the word to forgive really means to let go, to not hold any more malice or grudge in your heart. Like the king did when he forgave that debt, he let the person out of that debt. He was no longer holding that debt against the people involved. So people create a situation where they have some kind of debt to us. It might be financial debt or a debt of gratitude or this, and they've let us down, they've hurt us, and we think they're in the negative, and then we choose to forget about that thing that's in the negative. In our mind, we have a ledger, we have a bookkeeping thing that says, this person did me wrong, they're in the negative. So what we need to do is get our mental eraser and rub out all those negative thoughts and negative judgments we've got against that person and let go of the issue. We're not going to bring the issue up again. We're not going to keep on throwing it in that person's face. Now, this is a very sensitive thing, but sometimes there is a marital affair. Sometimes the guy or the lady goes out and has an affair on the side, a one-night stand. And eventually the couple makes up over it, and the affair is broken off and the marriage is restored. But someone cannot forgive. They cannot forget. They bring up, well, what about the time when you had the affair? What about the time when this happened or that happened? And that is brutal. That becomes like a saw soaring through the marriage. It's like grinding away at the marriage and chopping off little bits of the marriage until there's nothing left of it. So you've got to forgive and you've got to forget and you've got to stop raising the issue. Otherwise, it will become a logjam between you and the other person, or it's a financial issue. Say, well, I forgave you for that $500. That's all right. I forgive that. But then a few weeks later, well, you know, I forgave the $500. And you're on and on. You're reminding them of how holy you were to forgive their debt of $500. And it was a big deal. Yes, it is a big chunk of money. But that is something that you chose to do, and you need to forget it and you need to put it behind you and not raise that issue again. Or say someone just makes a social mistake. They make a clangor. They say something that hurts you and embarrasses you in public. And you forgive them for making that social mistake, but you keep on bringing up, remember the time you said such and such about me. Remember the time you did this. Remember the time you embarrassed me. And that, again, is doing a lot of damage to the restored relationship. You don't want to do that. You don't want to keep bringing things up over and over again. Well, is there a time when you should not forgive somebody? Well, it's obvious that God forgives some people and he does not forgive others. God does not forgive the unrepentant, wicked people who never call on the name of the Lord. So there's got to be repentance. There's got to be a sense in which the person has said, I'm sorry, and you say, okay, I accept it. But if the person is just abusive, the person is just being violent and terrible, say the person's a bank robber and you forgive them robbing your bank and they go on, they rob another bank and another bank, what are you doing? They have no intention of changing their lifestyle as a bank robber. What you should do is report them to police and get them caught, because this person is unrepentant, wicked bank robber. They're going from bank to bank, pointing guns at people, maybe killing people, taking the money, moving on, and asking people to forget about it because they're insured. No, that's not the way it works. There are some people who are truly toxic and we lock them up in jails. People that are murderers and robbers of all sorts, we say, okay, this person has never repented for their sins. They're not sorry. They're just pretending to be sorry. We've got to lock that person up in jail. So you've got to get some kind of real repentance where you sense this person is really repentant. This person really wants to be forgiven for their sin, and I will grant them that forgiveness. And you need to be very discerning in that regard. Well, let's go have a look at 2 Corinthians 2, 6 to 8. I'm not going to open that up because I'm nearly out of time. 2 Corinthians 2, 6 to 8. Paul tells the Corinthians to forgive a certain person who had caused a lot of offense in the church and to restore them to fellowship, because if they didn't forgive this person would be broken beyond measure and hurt. So there's a sense in which a community has to forgive a person who has made a mistake, a serious mistake in this case, a mistake of immorality. They are to forgive the person and restore them to fellowship once they had proved themselves in the right and got through the issue. They're to let that person back into fellowship after a certain amount of repentance. So when someone has done something that's hurt the church, that's hurt everyone in the church, and yet that person has fully repented, has done the right thing, has shown great sorrow for their sin, and then after a while, you're to let that person back in the church. Maybe you keep them away from certain things that they might be tempted by, such as young women or finances or whatever. But you're to restore them to fellowship in the church of God. We're not to ban and shun people forever like we see in some churches. So being harsh and unforgiving as a community can also happen as well. And you get churches that are harsh and unforgiving even over doctrine. They say, oh, well, you believe in this, that, or the other, so we're going to kick you out. You can never come back. That is not the attitude. There's always got to be a way back. There's always got to be a way back to the community through repentance, through faith, through saying you're sorry, through showing that you're aware of your sin and that you will not do that again. And now there's some situations where the sin is incredibly serious, such as rape or child molestation. And those kind of things require a great deal of discernment on the part of the church, particularly child molestation, which has happened in some churches. In that case, I don't think the person should be anywhere near children. The person should perhaps be kept out of the church service if there are children in the church service and receive their communion in another place or in another way, but still be acknowledged as a part of the church. But as a part of the church, she has to be treated very carefully. And so if you know that someone has a toxic tendency, then yes, if they're readmitted back into fellowship, they may need some barriers around them. They need to be guarded, fenced around in some way so they do not commit that sin again. And we think of this in embezzlement. There are people in churches that take money out of the offering plate or church treasurers that run off with the money. And then they're caught and then the community expels them for a bit or whatever happens after the embezzler is caught. And eventually the person perhaps repents and comes back to the church and says, sorry, I'm sorry I took all your money and ran off with the church's money. Perhaps they do that. That's very rare in my opinion. Embezzlers just take the money and run. But say someone did. Yes, you can let them back into the church, but you don't let them touch the money ever again. You say, okay, you've got our forgiveness, but you haven't got our trust. So that's how to forgive one another. Forgive one another from the heart. Live a life of quietness, peace, and gentleness in the Holy Spirit, not full of bitterness or wrath or clamor, but full of the Spirit of the Lord, being willing to forgive not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. And this is John Edmund signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.